This, amen, praise God. This is going to be a great month. I'm expecting, and I need you all to expect with me in agreement that there are going to be some breakthroughs. Some people are going to come through some stuff that they've been going on this month. Because, you know, this month, right now, we are going to be focusing all on worship and praise to the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you sit in the very presence of the Lord, whether or not you know Him or not, something powerful can happen to you just by being in the very presence of the Lord. Just by sitting and being and soaking and being in the Spirit, that when that outpouring flows over you, you can't do anything but to hit and be received. And when that happens, when the glory falls, when that glory falls, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. Because you can't stop it. You can't stop what He's doing. You can't stop what the power of the Spirit. See, when we sit in the worship, that is our body preparing to receive. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that all month. But this month, as God does stuff in you and through you, and as He helps you get through some of the stuff you've been going on, things that you've been praying for a long time are going to get answered. Things that you think that you needed are going to be given to you. Things are going to happen this month because we are going to yield ourselves. We are going to submit ourselves. We're going to humble ourselves and be in that presence. We are going to say, yes, Lord, and learn to be obedient people that He called us to be. And when we do that, when we submit ourselves and we say, Lord, I've been trying it their way. I've been trying it somebody else's way. But now I'm ready to try it your way. And when we try it His way, when we do it His way, everything falls into place. There's no stress. There's no anxiety. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no frustration. There's no sickness. There's no illness. There's no disease. There's no family problems. There's no marital problems. There's no financial problems. There's no housing problems. There's no hunger problems. All we have to do is just submit and say, yes. Yes, Lord. So I am believing that this month is going to be the beginning of that breakthrough for some of y'all. So if you agree with me in that and keep praying for that, because at the end of this month, one of our services is going to be a testimonial services. The whole service is going to be worship and testimonies of what God has done and done for you in your life and how we get to be sharing with others what He's done. Thank you, God. So I'm excited because, truthfully, I'm a musician. I'm a musician. That's how God made me. I love music. I love to worship. I'm a musician. And God, to my core, that's who I am. I'm a musician. So when I get to preach about music and worship and get to play and being a musician, I love that stuff because I get to connect in such a deep way with God. And that's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. So y'all just be in agreement with me that this is what we were expecting God to do, some great things this month. And I know that there's going to be some breakthroughs and some testimonies on that. So, hey, praise God. Praise God. So this morning, we have a special thing happening this morning. We are going to dedicate one of our youngins to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Where is Cortez? Is he around? Let's bring him up. And let's get James and Susan and the family to come up. And Mom, Kira, let's get them. Here they come. Yeah, praise God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, his little legs, you know, if he's walking, then he can't go that fast, so. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You know, it's always a joy when we actually can actually take one of our little ones and dedicate them to the Lord and just, you know, and pray over not only just the family and the child and the parents, just everybody gets that prayer, you know, and just to lift up those young ones. It's such a blessing when we can do that as a body, as a corporate body. Amen. There he is, the star of the day. Yeah. Yeah. That's you, buddy. That's right. That's right. That's you. So we can give a hand clap to Jesus too. There we go. So all right. Come on back here, y'all. Come on back here. There we go. There we go. So all right. So how you doing? You okay? Yeah? Doing all right today? Right. Grandma messing with him. So, this is Kiera, and this is her son, Cortez. And today, what we're going to do today is we are going to dedicate him to the Lord. And we're going to pray over him all kinds of protections. And there'll be a charge to you as mom in covering him with that. And as a corporate body, we're going to be in agreement, and parents in agreement for what we're about to do today. So I'm going to read to you this charge. And if you're in agreement, you will say, I will, when we're done. This is a covenant relationship, almost like a marriage in what we're doing. So the charge to the parents, I'll read to you. It says, do you, Kiera, promise in the presence of God, your friends and family, and this church body to do your best to instill your child in the values and the teachings that will lead them to a personal relationship with Jesus? And do you promise to pray daily for your child? Do you also promise to entrust your child to God's care and to offer him to God for his service and ministry? If so, say I do.
I do.
I love that. Amen. 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 Love that. And that my charge is now to the body of Christ, this congregation, as a church body, I need you to help to commit. Do you, the members of Broad Street Church, promise to commit your time, resources, and prayer to the parent to raise her child in a way that he will come up in a personal relationship with Jesus and grow and desire to serve God? If so, as a collective body, say, we will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Father God, we know, Lord, that you have plans for this child, God, and we are excited to participate, Lord, in watching what you're doing in these plans, God, for Cortez as he grows and becomes stronger in you, Lord God. Father, we commit his life to you, Lord God. We commit who he is and what he's going to do and all he's going to be, God, to you completely, Lord God. Father, I pray right now that you bless the family, Lord God, as they create an environment of love that will enable this child to become all that you want him to be and all that you've created him to be, Lord God. Father, I pray right now for the extended family, Lord God, that are gathering around Cortez today, Lord God. We pray that they and the church will work together to encourage each other and one another, Lord, to love and to grow as a family together. Let them bless each other both today and for the many years to come. Let there be a godly influence over this child's life. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Yes, yes, Jesus, Jesus.
Here we go again.
There it is.
I'm claiming him for worship.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I anoint this baby in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit that is mine and his hands. In his feet, we claim him for ministry, God.
Jesus.
We claim him for the ministry
yes,
of worship.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. That's right. Yes. He's kissing it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, Kira, if you get find Kitra, she's or excuse me, find Sunitra downstairs, and she's going to have a certificate for you that we can get to you later. All right, thank you. So, praise and worship. Praise and worship, our theme for the month. My favorite time. Amen. It's my favorite time. Because you never know what God's going to do. And I never want to get in the way of what he's going to do. You know, we just want to let God do what God does. Amen. Amen. So turn with me, please, to Ephesians 5:19. If you have your Bibles or your Bibles in your phones or whatever, and eventually the Bible in the sky will have that for you too. So you go. Ephesians 5:19. We're going to start off. The message today is entitled Preparing to Praise and Worship. You know, last year when I focused on worship, the last thing I talked about was the preparation of praise and worship and the aspect of music. And this year, the Lord told me, don't do that again. Focus on the music, because it's the very thing that people, when they think about worship, that comes to their mind is the music. So we're going to talk about that and talk about preparing to praise and worship and what that really means. Ephesians 5:19, the word says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And I underline, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And the piece that stood out to me was from your heart. Colossians 3:16, the word says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So, praise and worship and preparing to praise and worship must have something to do with our heart. See, it's sad that I have to say this, but godly music is supposed to play a large role in the church. And see, and God created music with a very specific and positive purpose in mind. With everything that God has created for man to use for the right purpose, mankind has grossly perverted it and used it in many of the wrong ways. All of the wrong uses originate from the ruler of this world, which is the enemy. See, the devil, the archangel Lucifer, originally created in a perfect being in every way. He was perfect. Perfect in every way. Ezekiel 28:15 says, you were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till wickedness was found in you. And this applied to his ability as a musician, because he was a great musician. Wonderful musician. That was his job. He was so good. He was a wonderful musician. Lucifer was given the ability to play beautiful music through his workmanship and to understand its purpose as well. So not only was he good at his craft, but he also understood the purpose and the value of music and how it would be used. That's key. Satan eventually became wicked and perverted. And now as the prince of the power of air, as it says in Ephesians 2:2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The enemy projects into our lives all of the wrong ways to use music. Think about that.
the enemy's projecting into our lives the wrong ways to use music. It's now his desire that we use this wonderfully positive tool in a way that God did not intend to. We idolize the people the enemy promotes and uses, making them like gods of music. Think about that. It got worse when we got music videos. While deceiving others, these musicians and people in the industry, they're being tricked and lied to too. Songs and the music causing us to sing lyrics and act or react in ways that we wouldn't act or react. Causing us to sing things that we know we shouldn't be saying and coming out of our mouth. Think about it. Young people today are hooked on stuff that they shouldn't be saying, singing, or acting. The club. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember the club? What was happening up in the club and what we were doing when we was up in the club? Remember it. We were singing, acting, doing stuff that we shouldn't be. In fact, we were probably dressing in ways that we didn't need to be dressing. Fashion industry has messed us up through the music and stuff that we do. The people that the enemy has promoted and launched to these high places and roles. See, this is not pleasing to God. Music is God's gift to man. However, good gifts can become gods. If you are not careful, good gifts can become gods. To prevent music from becoming your God. And believe me, I love music. But I too was caught up in a time where it was my God. To prevent this from happening, Scripture gives us 7 purposes for godly worship in music. Purpose number 1. The purpose of worship. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singer sang, and the trumpeter sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. 2 Chronicles 29:28. Number 2, Psalms 147:7 is the purpose of thanks. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto God. Purpose number 3. Psalms 98:4-5. The purpose of rejoicing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, like we did today. All the earth make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and with the harp and the voice of the song. Number 4. I have two. Psalms 139 and Psalms 111:1. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There it is, starting again. Preparation, starting with the heart condition. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart and the counsel of the upright and in the assembly. There it is again. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. And when we talk out singing praise the Lord, that's the translation. In the Hebrew, that's hallelujah. Shouting hallelujah when we do that. That's praising the Lord. I also decided to look at a different translation of this verse, Psalms 111, from the Message translation. It reads, hallelujah, I give thanks to God with everything I've got. That should be game over right there, right? Done. I give thanks with everything I got, wherever good people gather and in the congregation. Now that's Broad Street. There we go. God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty mark his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love, he gave food to those who fear him. He remembered to keep his ancient promise. He proved to his people that he could do whatever he said. Hand them the nations on a platter. A gift. He manufactured truth and justice. And all his products are guaranteed to last. Never out of date, never obsolete, rust-proof. Lasting forever. And here's the thing. I love this part. He manufactures truth and justice. We're going to be talking about God's truth in the Word in a minute. Now, all that he makes us do and all that he makes and does is honest and true. He paid the ransom for his people, and he ordered that his covenant be kept forever. He is so personal and holy, worthy of all of your respect. The good life begins with a healthy fear of God. Y'all heard me? The good life begins with a healthy fear of God. Do this, and I know you will start receiving those blessings. Because hallelujah, his blessings last forever. His hallelujah lasts forever. Number five, didn't even get there. Number five, the purpose was Colossians 3:16, the purpose of edification. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Are you seeing the theme? The preparation starts with your heart and what's going on in your heart. Number six, Psalms 43, the purpose of evangelism. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Number seven, Psalms 145, 4 through 5, is the purpose of preservation. And what do I mean by preservation? Safeguarding and protecting. The preservation of faith. The preservation of faith. The word says, one generation commands your works to another, and they tell your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. So let's talk about some factors that are found present in worship. Well, first, there's a never-ending confidence in God. When you are there in his presence, something, you get drawn and pulled into a connection. You get to a place where you're feeling something. You know, you ever been in that place where you just get in that presence and something is just happening to you and you don't know what it is, but you feel strengthened, you feel encouraged. You feel like something is going on and I know it's God. But here's the thing. One cannot worship a being that they cannot trust. See, worship will rise and fall depending on the attitude that you take towards God. And we need to have our attitudes in check. See, your worship affects how you view God. And do you see God very big, or do you see God as being something that's small? And let me tell you something. I see God as big. I see him as huge. In fact, I do things. I step out on things all the time that people look at me and go, that'll never happen. And I'm going, psh. We must not be praying to the same God because he can do anything. All I have to do is just say yes and step into that yes and he can move the mountains. I don't have to worry about nothing. See, man, we limit ourselves. We put ourselves in these boxes and think that stuff is too big for God. Nothing's too big for God. There's not a thing he can't do. If it is his will to make it happen for you or to give it to you, it will be done. All you have to do is ask. That's all he said. Just ask. See, David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And magnify does not mean to make God big. See, you can't make God big, but you can see him big. And I see him big. My eyes see the power of God and how big he really is. And the things of this world, now that is small. That is what I see that small. Y'all remember that song? Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Yeah. Remember that song? I loved that song. We used to sing that when I was little. I loved that song. See, when we see God big, then we show admiration on our appreciation of the excellency of God. Then our admiration for God tends to grow. When we see how excellent he is, then our admiration becomes bigger and stronger. But when the Holy Spirit shows us more of God as he is, we learn to admire him to the point of wonder and pure, genuine delight. And we don't allow anything to get in the way of that. In fact, we protect that place. See, here's the key. As I was doing this message, the Lord put on my heart. He said, look, worship is an experience. And when you're caught in the experience, you get all worked up and all moving and your body reacts to it and does this thing. And it dawned on me. Worship is like exercise. Hello? Worship is like exercise. In fact, when we worship, we get to exercise and tone up our heart, our mind, and our body. See, this is why worship connects us directly to that spirit and our soul. It's to the core of who we are. And sometimes we need to tone up and shape up that core, shape up our body, shape up our minds, and get to that spirit. Worship is like exercise for the body. See, and if God lives in you and at your core, this is like a romance at the deepest, most intimate level. You can't help the feelings of emotions that are triggered. You may cry. You can't stop laughing. You may feel uncontrollable joy. You may have laughter. You may be filled with excitement. You may just lay out on the floor being overtaken by the awe and the presence of God. That is worshiping. See, this is why people who don't sing or play an instrument are still so affected by music. It causes them to sing or want them to sing or move often in ways that they may not even move before. You know, this is how when that overflow or that presence comes in, that's just God taking over the worship and taking it over in you. And that's what you want. See, the question is how much time do you engage in the exercise of worship? Or maybe you approach it like we do earthly exercise. Oh, well, you know, I ain't got time. You know, I really want to. You know, I got that membership. You know, somebody said I can get to the gym, but, you know, I really, you know, I've been working so much and I can't do this and I can't do that. I just got no time to fit it in. I'm too busy to actually do it. I hope you're not approaching it in that way. See, here's the key. Worship comes first in heaven, so it should be first with you here on earth. See, it's the pre-things to many things. It's why we start our service here with worship. We need to learn how to prepare for worship and praise. Preparing to praise. Let's look at Psalms 150, 1:6. The word says, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in this mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Where are the limitations, y'all? You get to jump, shout, dance, sing, whatever you want to do. In fact, when we praise and worship, nobody should be in the aisle in these pews. Y'all should be filling up all over this place. Find a corner, find the aisle, find wherever you got to go. You're not bound to these pews. In the old days, some folks may have told you that's where you need to stay because that's where the ushers put you. Today, I'm telling you, get out of them. Get out of them. Do your thing because God is doing his thing. See, if true praise is the overflow of the human heart, why don't we praise God more often? If that really is happening, why don't we do this? Take, for example, the story of Jesus encountering with the Samaritan woman. This woman was simply conducting her normal business. She was doing her regular chores when she was unexpectedly approached by Christ. Now, imagine her surprise when she found out who he really was. See, however, we can learn something about praise from that example. And the thing that stood out to me was this. In order to rejoice at the truth, we must be prepared to receive the truth. Y'all hear me? In order to rejoice at the truth, you must first be prepared to receive the truth. See, preparing to receive the truth. How do we do this? Well, let me give you three ways to do this. First, we must know the truth. A primary reason for our lack of praise is ignorance of God's word and how to apply his very principles. See, when we realize their truth and their validity, we will naturally be filled with praise. Second, we must have the right spirit. See, this requires submission, y'all. This requires submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Got problems in your marriage, problems in your relationships, problems in your connection and hearing from God? Let me tell you something. A rebellious spirit cannot connect and praise to God. We should repent daily of all the known and the unknown sins that may be going on with you. See, this also involves negative attitudes, critical comments, and thoughts towards others. Got to get rid of that stuff too. It's got to go. Finally, we must rid ourselves of fear. It is necessary to move beyond worrying about what others will think if we offer praise to God. Some people won't step in, enter in, and submit and be humble because they're worried about what someone else is going to say, do, or think about them. Got to get over that. The Lord delights in our praise. Therefore, pleasing him, not man, not the pastor, must be your first priority. And I say that with an emphasis, not man and not the pastor. I don't count. I'm insignificant. Who cares if you think you're pleasing me or not? The real question is are you doing what you're supposed to be doing, pleasing God? We need to give him all the credit for everything. Everything. Everything until the very end. Until you breathe your last breath. You give him credit for everything. He is worthy of our praise. As we worship, we offer him our praise. Revelations 5:1-14, talking about the very end. The word says, Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with the writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders, love elders, God bless you, said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders whom I love. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and now the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. Musical instrument. Here it comes. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of God's people. And they sang in a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. With your blood, you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and the people and nation. You have made them to be kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, in a loud voice were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and the Lamb to be praise and honor and glory and power forever." Four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Woo! Power. Powerful stuff in the worship. Thank you, God. Jesus is worthy of our praise, not only because of everything he has done for us, but also because of just who he is. In John's visions, vast multitudes of angels surrounded the throne in heaven, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." The early Christians needed to be reminded that Jesus, the Lamb, is worshipped constantly in heaven as he reigns over us all. I love that song, "To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." That song has so much power in it. When I sing that song, I am done because I know it is done. Woo! Thank you, God. Because of Daniel's prophetic interpretation of a dream, King Nebuchadnezzar was warned that he would be humbled in order to recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and it bestows on whom he wishes it sets over the lowliest of men. And that, where's that? And Philippians 2:9-11 says, "One day all creation will bow before Jesus and confess that he alone is Lord." All creation. That doesn't mean mammals only. All creation. That means the trees, That means the grass. That means the animals. That means the stuff in the sea. That means the water. That means the air. That means all creation will recognize who he is and what he is about. We need to have the joy of worshiping him. Right now, we get to have that joy. We need to be thankful and grateful for this. Do you realize they're killing people for just saying the name Jesus in other places? They can't worship like you can. The freedom that you have right now, other people can't do this. What are some of the biblical ways that we need to express this gratitude to God? We need to have gratitude for this. How can we do this? Well, see, here's the thing. Many of us can say, thank you, Lord, when we get that close call on the highway and survive it. We can say, thank you, Lord, for a new job that comes our way, or a promotion that may come our way, or a new situation that's been changed in our lives. We can say, thank you, Lord, to those things. But Scripture teaches us specific things about giving thanks to God. For example, Psalms 92:1 says, it is good to sing praises to your name, O Most High. We could start right there. Just sing praises and start there. When we lift our praises to God, we should realize the importance of using his name. Call out his name, Jesus. Shout out his name, Jesus. That's what we were doing. Just that right there, when we lift our praises to God, we should realize the importance of using this name. We show God appreciation by singing his praises. God gave us music primarily so we could offer thanks and praise in a form other than a spoken word. Unfortunately, many people come to church today and sing the worship songs with their thoughts and their minds elsewhere. They come into church and they're not really understanding what worship is all about. Preparing yourself for receiving what God has for you. You know, we got our cell phones, we checking our messages. Some of us are reading the bulletin and all that when God is trying to connect to you. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to say, look, you, my son, my daughter, you are in a safe, protected environment. And right here, it's just you and me. And I'm right here with you. Let's have this time. Why do we allow ourselves to be distracted by other stuff when it's time to worship? You know, and I understand things happen, but when we come in and we get to church late, yeah, I'm going there. When we get to church late, you stepping into half the experience that God had in store for you. He may have had something greatly planned. He may have wanted to start something right before the worship experience started for you. But you miss part of it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Get here and get what God's got for you. When we all come together to worship, we should all be singing to God with our whole heart and our full attention. Not our partial minds and not our partial attention. So you might be thinking, look, I can't even sing. Yes, you can. I'm telling you, you can. Yes, you can. See, when you lift your voice to God, don't worry about anyone else's opinion or your own musical ability, because God doesn't care about that. Don't say, I can't sing. Yes, you can. See, because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you straight up. If you can't sing, I'm good with that, because we're probably not going to ask you to come up here and lead in worship. Not a problem. But out there, have at it, because it's beautiful music to God, and he wants to hear you anyway. He's commanded you to do that. He wants you to sing to him. He is pleased by your praise. He is the His opinion is the only one that counts. The person next to you doesn't count. The pastors, our opinions don't count. We don't matter. Only His does. That's the only thing that matters. See, remember, it is God who told us to sing praises to His name. He did not say only the talented musicians should be singing praises to my name. He didn't say only those who can sing and have some ability to carry a tune should be singing praises to my name. No. All should be singing praises to His name. In another way we can express gratitude towards God is by walking upright before Him. See, the Bible repeatedly tells us that we are to be holy because why? He is holy. That's right. See, Leviticus 11:44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth." We always have a choice as to who takes charge of our actions. And that choice is it the flesh that we're allowing to take charge, or is it the Holy Spirit that we're allowing to take charge? See, whenever we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit, we fulfill God's requirement of holiness, which means being set apart for sanctified living. Another way we should thank God is by giving generously and cheerfully. We are truly grateful when we want to share the things that we have. See, Matthew 10:8 says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely you give." It's all about preparation and receiving. Most of you, when you are in need, you tend to be great askers and great receivers. When we need some, we usually can go. Or the complete opposite takes place, where for some, because of pride, we don't ask for things when we need help. I hope that's not you. And I hope we understand who we are and that we can receive freely. But we need to give freely, giving of yourselves. Here's what I know. I know for a fact that the Lord will supply all of your needs. Because He freely gives us all that we need. In fact, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in the glory of Christ Jesus." Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare His own Son." And I underlined that. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" Shouldn't you be excited about thanking our loving, sovereign Lord who redeemed us, forgave us, provided us eternal life, and every single day pours His blessings out upon you? We need to be grateful people. We should need to show our gratefulness and our thankfulness with our hearts and cleansing our hearts, showing them that we love Him through our worship and praise. Our Father never gets tired of blessing you. He never gets tired of hearing your praises to Him. Never, ever gets tired of it. And music, I'll say it again, is God's gift to man, but good gifts can become God's. Music turns from a gift to God when we look to it for the joy, comfort, power, and satisfaction that only God can give. Here are five indicators that this might be happening. Number one, music turns from a gift to God to a God when we choose to attend a church or a meeting based on the music rather than the preaching of the gospel or of God's word. See, nowhere in the Bible are we told that the church is to gather around good music. Find it for me if you can. It's okay to call me out on something if I'm not wrong, but find it and show it to me if it says we need to gather around good music. See, we gather around the crucified and risen Savior Jesus. That is what we gather around. We gather to hear God's word in the spirit and its power. That is what we gather around. Number two, music turns from a gift to a God when we can't worship in a song apart from the particular song, style, leader, or sound. See, anytime you say, I can't worship unless X happens or Y is present, unless X is the death of our Savior on the cross or the power of the Spirit, we are engaging in idolatry. See, at that moment, X is more important to us than God's command to love Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Number three. Music turns from a gift to a God when we think music leads us into or brings God's presence. Here's exactly what music can do. It can affect us emotionally. It can create a mood. It can soften our hearts so that we listen more intently. It can help us hear words differently. It can distract us from what's going on. It can help us focus on what's going on. It can help us remember words. Here's what music can't do. It can't make God more present. It can't bring God's presence down. It can't bring us into God's presence, manipulate God. There's only one mediator, and it's not a song. It's not a style. It's not a leader, or it's not a sound. The only mediator there is Jesus. See, because of the things music can do, it can help usher in and facilitate an atmosphere that allows the Spirit to take over and control the outpouring. Number four, music turns from a gift to a God when a poor musical performance leads us to sin against another band member or musicians that are called to lead us. See, we are not representing God's heart when we show anger, frustration, or become impatient with musicians who just don't play up to your standards. But that never happens in a church. See, it's funny to me how many people in the church have an opinion about worship and have no training. No experience, can't sing, can't play an instrument at all, but they sure can tell you and will tell you how they think the music is supposed to sound or how it's supposed to be done. Really? Really? I mean, Mrs. Flesh or Mr. Pride, who are you? Here's the key. God understands. See, here's the thing. God's standards are perfection. And they've been met in and through Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life in our place and died as our substitute, enduring the wrath of God in our place. It's already been met. That perfection has already been met by Jesus. So we don't have to do it. Worship team, come on up. All our offerings, no matter how well or poorly offered, are perfected through the once and for all offering of Jesus. See, we can strive for excellence to serve others while extending to others the same grace that we have received. Number five, the last one. Music turns from a gift to a God when a love for music has replaced a love for the things of God. Young people today, they listen to music that destroys their soul and they are completely dull to it. They don't even see it, know it, or understand it.